This is MemberCare Media, a media ministry of TWR. Up next, a conversation we believe will be helpful to you. This is a copyright production of MemberCare Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.
Picture this, a family member sent you a disc with the entire season of a certain television program that you just don't see where you're living now. Intending to just watch one episode, you find yourself still watching into the wee hours of the morning because you just can't wait to see what's going to happen in the next episode. Hello, my name is Ted. Ted Siemens. I'm a TV-holic. Why don't you pull up a chair and join our circle here on MemCare by Radio? Have you ever gotten into that disc from home like that? Before you know it, you've watched the first half of the season. Fortunately, I'm a morning person and I need to wake up early each day, so maybe my conscience helps that of my daughter and my wife so that they realize, okay, we know we want to see what happens next, but we realize we can't watch any more tonight, nor the rest of the week. That's happened a few times in our family. And both our local staff and expat co-workers seem to enjoy borrowing those discs. That never happens to you, though, does it? Maybe it helps us to bring up the question of whether or not fantasy is okay, or when is it appropriate? My cohort in this program and fellow expat, Susan Feet, has a disc to trade or exchange now and then. But more importantly, she's been guiding us through a discussion on coping mechanisms. This program is the fourth in our series, and we continue looking at some behaviors that we've sometimes carried all the way since childhood that allow us to dance around our sources of stress rather than working them out. Is fantasy a way to give your brain a mental vacation? How can it be a coping mechanism then? And what about constant complaining? Come join our conversation as we look at some of these questions. Susan, on the past several programs, we've been talking about coping mechanisms and comparing that to actually coping with situations that we might face in our lives. And Susan, when we ended the last time, we were talking a little bit about one sort of coping mechanism that's referred to as denial and repression. And I think sometimes that this might really affect us as believers because we have certain perceived ideas about how we can act and what we should be like and what we should think.
Yeah, and in fact, I found myself falling into that. Denial was not my coping mechanism as a child. I was much more, in some ways, a better coper as a child than I was as an adult. But as I began to want to be more Christian and behave in a more Christian manner, I actually ended up, without realizing it, adopting denial as my primary coping mechanism. I think in part because, you know, we're supposed to be good. We're supposed to be like Christ. We're not supposed to be angry. We're not supposed to be frustrated. We're not supposed to have these negative thoughts and feelings. And at least that was my idea about what it meant to be a Christian. And so since that didn't fit with my idea of what it meant to be a Christian, I ended up practicing denial. I'm not that way. I'm not aware of being that way. So things get pushed down. It is never helpful to suppress sinful thoughts. I mean, not that these thoughts and feelings aren't sinful. Sometimes they aren't. Sometimes they aren't. But you deal with sin by acknowledging it and by dealing with it and by bringing it to the Lord and saying, here's what I'm feeling and here's what I'm thinking and acknowledging it before Him so that He can cleanse you of it. Denial keeps the sin there, because you're not aware of it and because you're not dealing with it. So I think it is easy as a part of Christian culture, at least in my passport country, denial is a very common thing. And as true followers of Christ, we want to be like He was, and He dealt with stuff. And He talked about, you know, we speak the truth in love and we ask God to search our heart. We want to know what's in there so we can deal with it.
But I think it's easy for us to say, well, we've been taught since children that we should act this way or don't think that or don't say that, because if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all.
Yeah, those are common things we teach our children. Part of it is that it's really hard to teach children coping, in part because they're immature. And so we ended up teaching them social norms, because little children will tell you everything they're thinking. And we can't have children saying everything. We as adults can't say everything we're thinking. We think rude things. Children ask questions that are embarrassing. They make comments about personal things and stuff like that because they don't know. So in our attempts to teach them that, it's very easy to teach them denial and about not thinking things and that type of a thing. And so this is where, as adults then, because we have learned these things, and it's really hard to not teach them, and we're getting to try and get kids to control themselves, that then as adults, we have to look and say, okay, do I do this? And if I do, if I'm trying to conform my thoughts about myself to what I think I should be instead of looking at what I really am, then that's taking that step into maturity and into adulthood to say, okay, no, really, I really am this way. Okay, now, Lord, come and cleanse me of that, and come and change me. Come transform me. You know, awareness is just a huge part of learning to change.
Is that something you've experienced in your life?
Yeah. I mean, that was what my breakdown was all about, was the Lord was confronting me with this intense level of denial that I was living in. And it was a denial so deep, I didn't have a clue. And it turned out I was angry. I was angry with God. And that's a sin, so I didn't want to know about it. And I so thoroughly didn't know about it that that was the thing that brought about the breakdown. And the Lord in His mercy made me see it. And I realized that I needed to confront it. Hiding it wasn't going to make it go away. And I still tend to drift back into that, because that is a natural thing for me. So I have to be aware of being aware, so that I can cope with stuff as they come along, so I can deal with my sin, my thoughts, my negative feelings as they come up. And that's one of the prayers I pray. And it's a good prayer for someone who deals with denial. It's like, Lord, help me feel my feelings. Help me be aware. Help me know what's going on in there.
I'm glad you bring that up, because I'm sure it's easy to come back to some of these patterns that we've had in the past.
Yeah, they are the default. You know, guys who work with computers know what that means. You know, this is the automatic response. And these are the things we do without thinking. And that's why when you're parenting your children, if you have children, you will end up parenting them very much like your own parents did, because that's what you saw. That's what was modeled before you. It's natural to do what you saw. And so if you want to do something different, you have to be very conscious about it. A lot. I mean, we're all different and we do things differently than our parents, but a lot of it, you'll hear yourself saying the same kinds of things that your parents said, even things that drove you nuts when you were a kid and things like that. So, yeah, it's a growing pattern, and growing isn't like usually, boom, okay, it's done and I never do that again. It's like, okay, I'm growing in awareness, I'm growing in paying attention, and we do this up and down kind of a growth pattern. It's not a straight upward line.
Susan, we've been talking about these coping mechanisms and some of the particular examples that you've given us on earlier programs include acting out and compartmentalization, compensation. Now we've talked about denial. What are some other examples that you could give us?
Fantasy or fantasizing is another coping mechanism. And this is one that's a matter of degree, because it can be very helpful to do what would be called taking a mental vacation. So as part of coping with stress is to take a break from that. So you go and you watch something interesting, you read an interesting book, you will take a mental vacation at a future show. We'll talk about how you do that. So you let your mind have a rest from a thing by thinking of something else for a while. That is a healthy thing. But when fantasizing and fantasy becomes, it takes over, and you're spending too much of your time reading things and playing online computer games, things where you enter a fantasy world where you can sort of, it takes over your mind and your thinking, romance novels for women and things like that, that becomes unhealthy. Because part of it is it's running from the problem and just trying to feel good, you know, about something that's different. And it can make you dissatisfied with your life. You know, I think about women who read a lot of romance novels. There's these idealized males. And, you know, the guy you're married to isn't like that. And so it can make you dissatisfied and thinking, well, there's something better out there. There's someone better and these kinds of things. So that can be very unhealthy.
Well, I wouldn't have any problem with the romantic novels, but the computer games, I mean, that one sticks a little bit closer, and it's not just even the fact that I'm getting away from what I should be doing for a little while. A game like that requires a lot of time, and suddenly you're drawn away from the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm. And again, it's a matter of quantity. You know, if you go and you do this for an hour or two periodically, it's a vacation for your mind. That's a healthy thing. But when your wife and your kids are complaining, you know, because dad's not available, that type of thing, or your husband is complaining because the wife isn't emotionally available because of these things are taking time and mental and emotional energy, you know, that's an indicator. And it can even be a game like solitaire. I can remember having a family member just spending hours on the computer playing solitaire. So if you're not sure about something, ask your family members. They probably have a fairly good idea about whether you're spending too much time doing some of these things.
What about complaining? Could that be a coping mechanism as well?
Yeah, that is a coping mechanism. And I think most of us have been acquainted with someone. They love to complain. Whenever you offer a solution to their problem, they can tell you why it isn't going to work, even though they've never tried it. They just want to complain. They're not looking for a solution. They're not looking for an answer. They're not looking for it to be better. There's some pleasure in them in complaining. And that really draws, you know, a lot out of people. I had a very good friend who was that way, and it's fatiguing.
Sometimes it can be frustrating if you think the person's asking you for advice and then you suggest several solutions, but they seem to reject them for this type of reason.
Yeah, because they aren't really looking for things to improve. They don't expect that things will change.
Has your heart and mind been locked up with the thought that nothing ever changes? Has that caused you to complain, not expecting solutions from those to whom you're communicating? Complaining can be a coping mechanism. Could it be your default setting? Are you looking for some help in really coping? What possibilities exist within the member care providers in your own organization? There are links to other member care providing agencies on our website. For Susan Feet and our MemCare by Radio team, I'm Ted Siemens.
This feature is a presentation of MemberCare Media. Thanks for taking the time to listen. We invite you to check out our website further. We offer audio features and resources to help you in your work and daily life. In addition, we have links to other helpful websites that will be an encouragement to you and your family. This is a copyright production of MemberCare Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.